Hi, it's Catherine with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm here with Lynn Jackson, an activist in the Capital District. So you're a part of a number of community action groups, MSC, Project Salaam, the Capital District Coalition Against Islamophobia. Can you talk a bit about these groups and what they do?
The Muslim Solidarity Committee began in 2006 to help out the families of Yasin Arif and Mohammed Hossein, who were two men who were targeted by the FBI, arrested and incarcerated in Albany. Project Salaam came about because when we lost the case, when Yasin Arif and Mohammed Hossein were arrested and incarcerated and convicted, which just absolutely shocked us, an appeal was filed. And when we lost that appeal, we began to realize that there are other cases of wrongfully prosecuted Muslims in the country. And so we started Project Salaam in 2008 to talk about people who were preemptively prosecuted or prosecuted without having committed a crime. And we began to look at cases all over the country that were similar to that. The Capital District Coalition Against Islamophobia came about in 2015 when our current president, who was then campaigning, made statements against Muslims, and the realization came that we needed to support people in our Muslim community, and that's where the Capitalist Coalition Against Islamophobia came about. What I'd like to talk about a little bit more, perhaps, is Project Salaam, because that is the group that looked at other cases, because we were so horrified that here in Albany, that these two Muslim men could be prosecuted when, in fact, they were entrapped by the FBI. And we didn't really realize that this was going on all over the country. This was like a post 9/11 type of thing. Then the FBI was targeting Muslims and surveilling the Muslim community. And we created a database, which we now call Inventing Terrorists. And the database tracks these kinds of, quote, terrorism cases throughout the country. And we became very familiar with other cases, such as the Newburgh 4 case. That was four African-American men entrapped in Newburgh, New York. The Fort Dix 5 case, which was five Muslim men who were entrapped by the FBI in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, plus many, many more. There's over 1,000 people in our terrorism database at this point, which is really very sad.
So why do you want to keep coming back to volunteer with all of these kinds of groups?
Well, you know, I'm an American. I live here in the United States. I was born here. And I believe in the principles of our Constitution. And the First Amendment to our Constitution has to do with religion. And if you don't have religious freedom, you don't have freedom of thought. You don't have freedom of speech. Because if you aren't free to have your own thoughts, how can you possibly have your own freedom of speech? And I feel that no one should be persecuted or targeted solely because of their religion. That people's beliefs need to, you know, people need to be respected and allowed to express their beliefs and their religious beliefs. And I think it's outrageous that our government targets Muslims in this way. So I can't let it go. I mean, it's so fundamental to how our country operates that, you know, I cannot let go of the fact that these two men, Yasin Arif and Mohammed Hossein, were targeted solely because of their religious beliefs.
So the case that kickstarted some of these groups, particularly Project Salaam, the Arif Hossein case, occurred right here in Albany and involved preemptive prosecution. You talked about that a bit earlier, but what effects does preemptive prosecution have on the U.S. justice system as a whole?
Well, the idea is that, so during this, the Bush administration, the Bush-Cheney administration, Dick Cheney said that if there's a 1% possibility that someone could have done something wrong, you have to treat it as 100%. Now, this goes against every principle of our Constitution, where people are allowed to be confronted by their accusers, people, you know, that people have to commit a crime before they are, you know, arrested. And in these cases, when you talk about entrapment, so entrapment is when the government sends in an informant and entices someone into doing a, quote, criminal act. Now, in the Arif Hossein case, neither Mohammed Hossein or Yasin Arif did anything wrong or illegal at all whatsoever. All of the outrageous statements were made by the informant, all of the plot. They didn't even know about the plot. I mean, it was, the whole thing was, it's crazy. This whole entrapping. So the idea right now, because of all these cases, is that if you accept the enticement by the informant, that shows that you might be likely to commit a criminal act, because usually you should be able to entrap someone if nobody has done any criminal act ahead of time. Neither Yasin Arif nor Mohammad Hossein had ever done anything illegal. They had done no illegal acts whatsoever, but the government still decided to target them with this crazy sting operation. And it's kind of changing. So it's basically for the government to spend all this time and resources to entice people, to persuade them, to try to get them to do something that could be considered illegal, is simply turning our justice system on its head. It's so outrageous. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and kind of on the other side of that, what kind of effects does it have on those convicted under the guise of preemptive prosecution?
Well, in the case in Albany, of course, these two men were taken away for 15 years from their families. The devastation on their families is the children grew up with no father. These men were sent to prisons very far away. Yasin Arif was sent to a special Muslim prison called a communications management unit, which is an entire topic in itself. They are horrible. These are horrible prisons, and most of the people kept there are Muslim. The impact is devastating, both the having the father removed from the household, plus the children having to grow up with no father, the economic impact on the family. It's absolutely devastating. And we, of course, have met many more families in this situation. And the families are devastated, and oftentimes the men are sent away for life or very, very long sentences. I mean, I hate to say this, but Yasin Arif and Mohammad Hossein were, quote, lucky, unquote, because they were only given 15 years. In the case of the Fort Dix Five, they were given life in prison. Life in prison. For doing what? Getting entrapped by the FBI. And this injustice to go on in this country bothers me deeply. And I can't let it go.
So if anyone here that's listening wants to get involved with the Muslim Solidarity Committee, Project Slum, or the Capital District Coalition Against Islamophobia, how can they go about doing that?
Probably the best thing is to go to the, I think it's endislamophobia.org website, and there's a form there you can fill out, and we'll get that. Or there's a Facebook page, Capital District Coalition Against Islamophobia, and we would be very happy to have people join us in our fight. Also, if people want to know more about the Arif Hossein case, the great details, we have a podcast, terrortalk.org, and we haven't finished our series, but we do have a tremendous introduction to the details of the beginning of the case. Everyone is welcome to take a listen.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.